Legend Network podcast is never late, nor are they early. They arrive precisely when they're meant to. Welcome to the Lord of the Rings Extended, a Middle-earth podcast from explosionnetwork.com. My name's Dylan Blake. Welcome to the Lord of the Rings Extended, a Middle-earth podcast. Today, we're talking about
Adar,
this week's episode. Also joining me, Ashley Hobley.
Hey Dylan, excited to be here to talk about the formation of Middle Earth, I guess.
I mean, is it
the show is going to become politics. Founding new countries, you know, that kind of stuff. That's what the show's about.
I mean, maybe. Also, Karen Marchant.
Hello everyone. Before we get too far into the show tonight, I have a statement I'd like to read prepared by my lawyers. Hello, listeners. I, Kieran Edward Marchant, here, would just like to speak to you as advised by my lawyers, early late attorney at laws. Any bets, any predictions, any passionate speeches that I represent of myself, my podcasting fellow brethren, or any views and opinions I have, have a 24-hour cooling off period where I may retract said bets, statements, and passionate speeches. Please, I apologize for any words or any passionate speeches that have led you to believe an incorrect law theory in recent times. And please forgive my future outbursts, because there will be many. Kieran Marchant, Esquire, the third.
Here's what I want to know. We record last.
Are you going to edit that out? That's what I want to know.
I am not editing it out. Why would I edit that out?
So it never happens.
Just chop it together so it's like a version you're like, you know.
No, you lots of bets. I make bets all the time.
Yeah, I'll change it. Why care? Lots. Many. Never take back. I'll just cut around it all. I'll just find where you've said these words from other things and just like edit it together terribly.
Damn.
What I want to know, we'll get to this week's episode in a sec, but what I want to know is, after last week's recording, at what stage and what were you doing where your brain finally ticked over and went, you know what, this Gandalf theory, not loving it now.
I think both of you know it was about 30 seconds after we hit stop recording of last week's episode. I think you both saw that realization on my face as I did some quick Googling, because, you know, I shot from the hip last week. I didn't pre-Google. I didn't look up anything.
I bet you $100.
Dude, I was so sure. And I am. It would have been really cool if it was Gandalf. Most likely not. Still like a smoky chance it is. But probably not. You know, and it is what it is. We're all here to enjoy the lore of Lord of the Rings and to make wild accusations and predictions.
Mm.
It's content. Everything's a bit. And
I'll be referring to this character as Gandalf until we get an actual name.
That's fair. Fair.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah.
Fair. All right. This week's episode, Adar, as I said before. Synopsis of which was: Arondir finds himself a captive, Galadriel and Halbrand explore a legendary kingdom, Elendil is given a new assignment, Nori faces the consequences. It was directed by Wayne Yip, written by Jason Cahill and Justin Doble. Kieran, what are your overall thoughts on this week's episode?
I love this episode. I'm really thoroughly enjoying Lord of the Rings, like Rings of Power. I think to continue to expand upon bits of lore that we have relation to and connection with. To finally see the Numenoreans, and seeing that race of humans and how they were besieged on by the people of, like, by, no, they, how they were, like, entrusted with knowledge by the elves and how they flourished under that. To see Galadriel reattach and integrate herself into that island, and on top of that, to get more of the orcs. I loved everything to do with the orcs this week. Between the orcs and the elves, I think it had a great kind of combination of getting more characterization and more kind of understanding of the orcs of this time period, but then on top of that, seeing the elves kind of stuck in this plight, and it's, yeah, I think overall, I think every aspect, I know people have been saying, you know, a part of the audience is complaining that the show's too long or that it is very slow in terms of its run times and stuff. But I love the time they're taking to explore the lore, to see and shape where this is going. It's even interesting that this is, what, an hour and 10-minute episode, and we got none of Elrond, in none of the, yeah, of that side of the storyline in this episode. It was purely...
And they introduced a new sub-character, yes, with the captain and his son and whatever else is going on there.
Yeah, 100%. So, Isildur is the son.
Isildur.
Interesting name. You might have heard of it before. That's his son, is Isildur. But yeah, no, I think it's fantastic. I'm loving where it's going. I'm loving that it's building Middle Earth in this way.
Ash, how do you feel after last week being it's okay?
Yeah, I like this episode a bit more. I think it was obviously a little bit more focused with just the three major storylines. Really, it was two. I mean, they kind of shoehorned the Harfoot stuff in there. But yeah, I'm really enjoying the Galadriel story and like her relationship, or all the Numenor, or whatever it's called.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the city of Numenor. Just,
that's really interesting. And like, obviously, I never thought of water being a part of Lord of the Rings, you know? Because it's like journeying across Mordor. Like, they never sail on ships except like the last 30 seconds of the movie.
Literally at the end, they're like, oh, there's a pirate ship, and then we're going to sail off. Like, other than that, when do you see ships? Like, really?
Barely anything. Like, yeah. And yeah, the island city looks amazing. You know, that's where it feels like a lot of budget when it's designing that. And yeah, I'm really enjoying the slow build up, and obviously, it's kind of setting up like the origins of Mordor is what we're getting here. I think. I'm assuming I'm not that far off base. Yeah. So, really enjoying it. I really like this episode, yeah. Which you done?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great. I liked the... When they started introducing a new character, I was like, oh boy. But then I was like, no, this might not actually have a problem. I feel like it feels great to be in this universe and you're seeing all this stuff that we haven't seen before, or you've had like characters hint at or whatever in other stuff. And if you haven't read all the material like I haven't, then I don't know a lot about this stuff, like Numenor, that's like Numenoreans or however the fuck you say it, like that, like hinted at or briefly talked about or one liners thrown off sort of thing and whatever else. But yeah, like what a stunning, so I don't know how much of the budget went on that, but that's sweet. That shot of them coming in on the boats and the camera like panning around the big city and everything. I was like, fucking hell.
All
like,
faces carved into the mountainsides.
Yeah, all the city, all that sort of stuff. I was like, oh, gee whiz. There's a big old chunk of change going into this section
it's
here.
It's beautiful. Just as a whole, I think this show continues to have such beauty in a lot of its aspect.
Yeah. This show is really, really good looking. Like every time I've sat down to watch it, the whole of 2 weeks, but both times I'm like, lights off, I need to get like the best, sitting there like taking this in like it's a full movie sort of
needs to be experience. Added to the list of things that Ashley goes back and rewatches once he has a decent TV.
Looks pretty good.
Looks, I'm sure it does it in 720p. I like, and again, I continue to like all the storylines. I was kind of, well, I actually did expect after, what is the character saying? Old mate who got captured. I still don't remember.
Halbrand.
No.
Oh, no.
It's Arondir, right? Is that it? Have I got the right person? Arondir? Does that seem like?
Seems like the correct name.
So after he got grabbed, yeah, that's what it is. After he got grabbed in the last episode, I kind of expected him to just, you know, this episode fight some dude off and move on.
I thought it was like sort of monsters thing. Or something. But no,
it's awesome. Something like that. But the fact that he's just like straight up captured and thrown in with those other elves, and that's how the episode starts. I was like, okay, right. Because, you know, we were talking last time about how, like, oh, you're going to have this storyline with him and the girl walking around, like, with their little romance subplot or whatever's going on there. But now he's like captured and like he had his massive escape attempt. But now, obviously, the way the episode ends, I think it's very much supposed to be like, old mate's stuck here. Like, he ain't getting out. No, not without any like major help or like some. It ain't going to be a quick escape mission. Mm. That's for sure. So, all the Harfoot stuff. Hashtag Ash hates Halfwoods and yep. All that sort of stuff I thought was, it was like the barely the C tier plot. They didn't have that much. And then you started like going there halfway through the episode. But I felt all of that still interesting. There's the mystery there. And I generally enjoy seeing all these characters interact. Like when it starts and they're doing their little march around with their masks and whatever else, I was like, oh, this is just fun. Like it's very colorful characters.
I just think, but for me, I think it was that storyline that gave the, I guess, moment of sorrow for like this episode at least, or the very sad and kind of more brings you back down to earth of when they're reading off the names of the people they left behind and just how crazy this their little society is in terms of like, if you get left behind, they're not waiting for you, they're not helping for you, they are every man for themselves, or, you know, it's for the greater good of the caravan. And to see the amount of people they kind of list off in the different ways that they died. I will say shout out to, once again, the Irish roots of their writing, of calling somebody an Egypt, which is very much an Irish slang for an idiot. So,
So is that how the Hobbits start? You know, they just get left behind and then they decide, hey, we'll just stay, we'll stop shop here.
Well, I think it's interesting like in the because Shire. The Brandyfoots are a very common family in the Shire during Lord of the Rings. Like there is a number of Brandyfoots.
It's like Smith.
Yeah. Like Smith. So it'll be interesting to see if maybe they are what kind of this is the story of how the Shire began and everything, which would be pretty cool if they're at its kind of core and getting left behind and everything is part of it.
Yeah. Like all that sort
of
stuff.
At the end, she's like, I need to change my name. It's going to be Baggins. Maury Baggins.
Bagginses! The Stranger with his whole this week's episode Gandalf. Thing is Gandalf. Gandalf's whole thing this week is doing the where he lights that page on fire and it like pushes all the fires up and causes them to get, you know, burn harder or, you know, however you want to describe it. What do you make of that? Like, Kieran, what's your current theories for Gandalf?
I think the story now leads I think to me the idea does lead towards the Balrogs, and because I know this Rings of Power is supposed to kind of tie into the story of the Balrogs very tightly and very closely. So I think out of all the potential, I think today you can rule out that it's not Sauron. We can rule that one out. So I think, most likely it is the precursor or a Balrog himself.
Ash?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It felt very, like E.T.-esque or like, any of those childhood family films where they find some weird creature and they're like, oh, can we keep him? Can we keep him? Yeah, it's kind of that story, which is kind of an interesting
doesn't know his strength.
Twist, because obviously he's the big, I guess it's like Harry and the Hendersons, I guess.
Yeah.
The closest.
Doesn't really know what he's doing, doesn't know what his own strength, all that sort of stuff. He's not trying to hurt anyone sort of thing. Yeah. So
he's setting stuff on fire.
Yeah, but I don't think he knew, he wasn't trying to do it. I don't think he realized what he was even doing. So that's the thing. He doesn't know. And then going down the character train of questions and guesses coming into, before we get into episode 4 next week, the character of the episode, Adar, however the fuck they're saying it. They do a whole non-reveal Adar. At the end, Adar. It's a character, they're literally talking about this person the entire episode. The episode starts, they're like, this is Adar's camp. You know, you've got the, this is, he's talked about in the background. And at the end, he's sort of looks like he's not, looks humanish, or elvish,
looks
or something
elvish,
like that potentially.
Probably.
Yeah, something along those lines. Now, I guess, the going theory, I feel like is going to be, I feel like he's either going to be one of two things. Either A, Sauron, B, a new character invented for this show who is like a lieutenant for Sauron. Kieran, which do you think is the,
I think it's more the lieutenant of Sauron. I think this is supposed to be the, I guess for many people who are not in the deeper lore of Lord of the Rings, this is supposed to be the surprising factor of, wait, what's a human / elven looking person doing with all these orcs? I think a lot of people don't question who Sauron is or what he is from, the Lord of the Rings. You only see him physically as the giant suit of armor, and then he is a floating eye, or a kind of the symbolism of the floating eye, the all-seeing pressure and presence of the darkest force in Middle Earth. So,
but in this, he's someone who can shapeshift, so we could either get him appearing as Johnny Depp or Mads Mikkelsen.
Yeah.
Colin Farrell.
Yeah, or Colin Farrell.
That's a fantastic analogy.
Yeah.
Are we going to talk about the major beast in this episode? The
wall? Can I say I was disappointed? I was mildly disappointed.
It had chihuahua eyes. It looked like
it was incredibly young and mistreated and stuff. And it hadn't. Obviously, it was a runt of a litter. My thing was when he said it, I thought he said wargs plural, so I was like, damn. And then one of them came out, and it was like this runty one, and I was like, okay.
They also put this episode's budget all in the city and not into the walk. I mean, it looks fine. It doesn't look bad, but the city definitely looks better than the walk. They're like, it's a couple minute sequence. But the city, it's a beautiful location. I'm going with Adar being a new character inventor for the show and not Sauron. I think obviously we'll get to Sauron eventually, but I'm going to say this is not it. When we do eventually meet Sauron, I think they're going to try and do a bait and switch potentially. So that means that maybe they try and play off this character as if it is Sauron to the audience, but then it's eventually revealed it's not.
There's going to be a character introduced into the Elrond storyline along with Celebrimbor. That's going to have a different name, is going to be a very, not a neutral character, but it's going to be a good presenting character, and is going to be kind of quite present in the creation of the rings with Celebrimbor.
Well, here's the thing. I know the basics of the story, and I don't know if this counts as spoilers for people watching, but I'm going to say no. We're going to touch on stuff from basic Lord of the Rings lore, I guess. But I know the general gist is obviously he gets Celebrimbor to teach him how to craft rings, and he weasels his way into being BFFs with him or whatever. But I feel like they would have to start becoming BFFs quite some time down the road after Celebrimbor's already starting, after he's got the forge and everything.
I don't think so, because I think Sauron presented as a student of Celebrimbor's. And nobody knew it was Sauron or any means. I get the feeling that, because if, as we now see, Sauron already had a very big evil presence and well-known name in this time period. So it's not like he could show up and be like, "Hey, I'm Sauron, guys. I've turned to the good side." Ha ha! No, it's
Could you do a story, Draken, then where, so as the audience, we know it's Sauron, this character who's pretending, but the characters on screen, they think that this person they're talking to for seasons and episodes, or however long it is actually a good guy. Meanwhile, you've got this character like Adar being introduced, we know it's not Sauron. However, everyone in the show thinks it is Sauron, if you know what I mean.
I just think they're going to... I think just to play on the fact of many people not knowing kind of the Celebrimbor storyline, unless you played Shadow of Mordor, I think Sauron's character is going to be super likable, is going to be, people are going to be bought in to that storyline and bought into this character, and it's going to try and be one of the season finale's kind of big reveal that it's really Sauron, and kind of then lead into having that character play a bit of a double life and everything back down the track.
Yeah. Do you have any thoughts on any of that sort of stuff, Ash?
I think they could go either way, I mean, I don't think we'll see Sauron this season. I think they'll hint at
it. Reckon you'll see him at all this season. I'll be shocked.
Or it won't be revealed at Sauron this season. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe they don't reveal, but I definitely feel like we've got to see Sauron this season. Because I feel like they've always said, sort of said it without saying it, that we're going to see him. They've just made sure to never actually reveal who's being cast and playing.
Well, I think we have to start getting to the point, at least, where the Rings of Power are forged and are created. And I think he has to be involved somewhere in that track of this season. He is part of the forging of all of the rings in one way or another, which results in his one true ring being able to control everything else.
Mm. Yeah, so I feel like we'll have to... I feel like he has to become a prominent player character within the show, so... but the other thing, talking about like the length of the show and stuff, the other thing I was thinking watching this episode with like the, when we get to Numenor, however the fuck you say it, when we get to there and it's like Numenor, we've got like this very rich city, like with a lot of like background and everything else, and then everyone else's story is happening, and then we're introducing new characters with like at least B tier level interest of plot, like the sun and everything, like that could lead a show, but it's good as a B tier sort of plot.
Well,
all this sort of stuff happening, I'm like, fuck, this show could have so many potentially years of
the thing is, the show has plenty. The sun storyline, I think, is the they are the line that is going to lead into Aragorn, and they will be the founders of Gondor.
I mean,
because Isildur is obviously renamed, like it's Isildur is the same name as the prince turned king that gets the one ring from Sauron the first time and doesn't throw it into the fires of Mount Doom originally, creating the whole kind of problem of Lord of the Rings and creating the curse or the kind of tales that is the bloodline of Isildur. So I think to have a character named Isildur in this show, I would put some pretty you know what? No, I wouldn't put a bet on it, but like,
gun shy.
Yeah.
But I would expect that family is going to be very much leading the Numenors that do return to Middle Earth, and I think they will return to Middle Earth with Galadriel, and from that storyline, they'll splinter off and they'll make Gondor.
You think they're going to get there that fast? That's my thing. That's my.
I don't think they'll get there that fast, but I think upon the creation, because the big reveal is that Galadriel finds out that these people want to make Mordor, and want to create Mordor and everything.
So it's a map. It's not a symbol, which is that was a cool moment. Yeah. I feel.
Which is, I think, once Mordor is created, Gondor is created to watch over Mordor and to keep Mordor back.
Yeah, but I feel like Galadriel's going to leave like next episode, but I could feel like if we're going to follow this plot in this city, then eventually maybe we see them come. But
I don't think
Galadriel
leaves that quickly.
Yeah, I reckon she leaves next
episode. I don't think they're going to let her, because they're clearly setting up this prophecy or something with the elf.
Like, we had that whole big single shot of the queen going up to see the king and being like, the elf is here, or the elf is returned.
Queen Regent, sorry.
Saying the elf
don't
is...
give people titles before they've earned them.
That's a bit
the
topical.
Line of succession.
That's
has not
a bit
been
topical.
Completed.
That's yep. Anyway,
long live the king.
But no, I think I don't think Galadriel leaves. I think there's a lot more to Numenor ahead.
Yeah.
And,
I don't want to leave there.
You
like,
don't spend
show,
all that money on that city for one episode.
No. I'm not saying we won't. Right? No. I thought Galadriel would leave, but would still be hanging around the city following these other characters.
I think she has a very big part to play in that city.
How about old mate, whose name?
Halibrand.
Is that it? Halibrand, yeah.
Yes.
So
Anti-Aragorn.
Hey? Yeah. How do we feel about his reveal that he's the king of men sort of thing?
Well, he's not the king of men in general. Well, I guess he is the king of the men.
He is not of these people.
He's king of the Southlands.
King
of the Southlands. So I think, judging off it, his people turn into the Rohirrims, I believe. Mm. Look, I thought there is an interesting darkness to this character.
Yeah, he seems like a piss weak dude, and he beats the absolute living shit out of those
dude. He just like that whole like even just his change in presence and change in body language throughout that scene of turning on them and kind of bashing them all and just kind of going mental on all of them was really interesting and does show that there is like a more barbaric and deep seated darkness to this man. And it's really interesting when you compare the Numenoreans to his people that live in the Southlands. And the difference between them, you know, the how downtrodden the people that followed Morgoth were and are now, and how behind they are in terms of general design and general kind of evolution of their people and their economies compared to the Numenoreans that have excelled under the gifts that were given to them by the elves, and to many ways have kind of fallen to some of the darker seated roots of a monarchy and this kind of higher society. I think it's an interesting juxtaposition between the two of them, and I think there is a lot to discover and to learn about the Numenoreans in general.
Lots of swerves and interesting.
Like, I want to know why they stopped hanging out with the elves. You know.
Yeah, I mean, I like how she's like, Galadriel's like, I don't like. He asks, and she's like, I don't know. I guess we're maybe about to find out. Like, but she never finds out
because she very confrontational.
She's just very much is like, fuck you, let me leave, give me a boat, and fuck off. Like,
my ancestors bought you this place. Yeah.
My ancestors gave you this place.
I just want to get out of here.
Yeah, I'm older than all you fucks. Like,
respect your elders.
Yeah, respect your elders. That's damn right. So I quite enjoy the little bit of attitude on Galadriel. So,
also, yeah, that sword thing is from the kid from last week. That's what they're all searching for, right?
What kid?
All the orcs?
Potentially, yeah, but I don't think so. Nah, because that was... I don't think so because... They're looking for something that's been buried in the earth or been buried deep in the earth they're searching for. And I don't think that is. I think that is just a Morgoth blade that has been found and kept by.
Yeah, I don't see how like...
Yeah, found by digging it up.
No, I mean, don't think it's quite that.
It was hidden.
That extraordinary.
Someone hid it like purposely in that barn, like his father.
After they dug it up.
No, they're fucking up. Jesus. I don't know what they would be looking for. I'm not sure what their goal digging is for. Really. Digging for lava, digging for a way to turn the sun off so they can be okay. I don't know, like what they're.
Yeah, was that a thing?
What, to shut down the sun or whatever?
No, just the sun affecting orcs.
Yeah.
Like in Lord of the Rings, I believe the Uruk-hai are walking during the day a fair bit, so marching around.
Maybe it's different ones then. Maybe.
Maybe the law's different, yeah.
Yeah. Like
maybe they develop sunscreen.
Maybe they develop sunscreen, yeah. I don't know. Which is an interesting thing, but
they developed a tolerance for sunlight, yeah.
I mean, Mordor never has sunlight, right?
Mordor is clouded in darkness and yeah.
So in general, a dark place like that whole area just gets darkened over. Whereas where they are now.
I mean, Return of the King, the major fight takes place during the day.
Yeah, but it's not in Mordor.
And there's heavy cloud cover. It's not in just like bright streaking light. I think it's direct sunlight is the problem for them. And these look like these do look like more pure orcs or more kind of albino orcs. Just to say the least, they're very much more lighter in skin color and their eyes are a lot more paler in color, which generally doesn't help them with sunlight. So I do believe...
Ginger orcs, that's what you're saying. They're ginger orcs.
Yeah, they're gingers. They have no souls whatsoever. But the orc race has evolved to a point of prosperity. Not prosperity, but they are a much more advanced race by the time we see them in Lord of the Rings.
I'm really loving the way these orcs look too, just to reiterate. I think they look really scary and good. And
I mean, they set it up like, you know, teasing them with the water.
Oh, yeah, that was great. Setting them up, like, have a drink, have a drink. And then they just fucking slip.
It's definitely fine.
Yeah.
Not poison.
Yeah. I also liked when Galadriel went to have that food or whatever. He's like, he's like, it's not poison for humans. Or like whatever.
Yeah.
Got him, sort of thing. Yeah, that was good.
I'd say the weirdest choice for this episode, like the really long slow motion shots of Galadriel on the horse.
She was enjoying being out. She loves being on horseback. Yeah.
Dude, I thought those images were dope.
It looked
like,
pretty.
They look really good. I think they shot that on a prop. That looks like it was shot on a proper slow-mo camera, not some.
Yeah.
Like, that was like high. I don't know if you could tell, Ash, on your fucking shitty TV, but. Shitty like,
fucking
it looks,
six
high
pixels.
Res. I mean, you can see the snout on the horse.
Yeah. Yeah, high res, yeah, I'm sure. You're watching that at 24 frames per second. So is it. Uh-huh.
Yeah. If he's lucky. If he's
lucky. I'm watching in P Jackson format, 48 frames. No, I enjoyed it. I just took it as she very much, the way she said like horseback or, you know, like whatever, it was very much like she was sick of being cramped up in that city. Galadriel's a character who has spent years traveling around in search of someone, but she spent years out in Middle Earth just traveling around. Like, she's not used to being stuck in a city. I think that this whole being stuck on a boat and then stuck in a city is sort of felt like cramping to her. It's like, so being out on horseback in the wild open, I think, was made her happy. And I guarantee that's going to be a moment that people do point out and say is stupid, but I think it's nice to show that for Galadriel, which in the show she's mostly, especially in this episode, seen as this hard ass, and you know, like she's very like back up, which is fair. Like she's sort of in, she's in enemy territory to a degree. I mean, not straight enemies, but she doesn't know. So I understand why she's got back up a bit. But yeah, that moment is literally the only moment in the episode where you get to see she's actually like deep down she has, or in the Elven Library or whatever the hell it was called. Like you can see that she's quite, you could tell like deep down there's moments there where she like sort of breaks and you can tell she's happy with that that place and what's there. So. Kieran, any final thoughts? Anything you haven't talked about this?
No, I think there's a lot of depth to this episode. There is a lot of interest. Do you think my interesting kind of plot that I guess is yet to be revealed a little bit more is about the King of the Numenoreans, because we get told this tale of how, from one side of things, how the King is very pro elf and seems to be exiled himself because of people overthrowing him and moving him on because of that theory and because of that, like. But then in the shot we see of the Queen Regent going up the tower to where he is supposedly being and kind of saying, oh, the elf is here like we thought, seemed a little bit less friendly towards elves. So maybe the king is in like some kind of comatose slumber up there, or like he is being held against his will in a way. I'm very interested to see how that plays out and what exactly is going on with the king.
Yeah. Ash, any final thing?
No. Excited to see where we're going to go to next. What's up with this Adar person, you know?
Hmm. Lots of questions. No, very much looking forward to it. Very much enjoying the show. Loving everything about it. One thing I do want to touch on just quickly, if we can get a round of fuck you to racists, that would be great.
Yep, that'd be cool.
That'd be great. Shout out to the
this is a video. This is audio podcast.
Yeah. Kieran just gave the
fingers to racists. Hey, I'm still fucking worse to racists. I don't give a fuck.
And shout out to the OG Hobbits for the, you know, their show of support this week.
Yeah. So, yeah. I didn't want to spend much on it, but yeah, I know we talked off the pod last night or whatever. It's just, and I think I picked the right word, which is eventually found it, which was it is sad that they have to people, the OG cast and all these other people are having to come out to stick up for the cast of the show and those being attacked online and stuff. And I mean, even I, like, just prior to recording, I literally went on YouTube, typed in Ring of Power episode 3 review, and there is just, you know, a wall of very typical looking shock horror YouTube.
Weirdly, there's like a 5-hour episode, 5-hour video. The show's been out for like
2 hours. People have like, and it's not even a joke, like, I don't know if there is a 5-hour one, but I definitely did see there was one for like episode 1 or 2 where this dude's done like a 3-hour video. It's like SJW woke garbage or whatever. I'm like, my dude, you're talking about this shit for like nearly 4 hours. Like, I mean, what the fuck? Like, you hate it so much. Yourself? Like, come on. Yeah. Terrible. Anyway, that'll do it for this week's episode of the Lord of the Rings Extended, our Middle-earth podcast. Of course, check out all our other things that are happening right now. All new Marvel cast for She-Hulk, South of King's Landing for, I always go to say Game of Thrones, House of the Dragon, and check out What Do You Want to Watch, of course, for all our movie, TV news and all that sort of stuff. And there'll be podcast updates on, I'm sure, little special episodes coming out on all those feeds because Disney D23 is happening tomorrow as of recording, and or for the whole weekend. So I'm sure there'll be lots of bonus episodes on every podcast feed. What Do You Want to Watch, and all new podcasts anyway. All right, until next week. Goodbye.